Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, you're live.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another wonderful day. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Our service times are at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and our Wednesday night Bible studies are at 7 p.m. Come by and worship with us. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, how are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed, my brother. I'm blessed. And that's what I
can't. You can't be stressed. Amen. Well, it's good to be back on the air. I'd just like to say hello to everyone who's listening. And if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10.
Okay.
John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, this is Jesus talking, Yeshua. The Bible says, the thief is Satan, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his agenda right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the devil wants to do in each and every one of our lives. That's what he comes to do. Now, he'll try to, pretty himself up, and he'll try to put things in a pretty package. And like he's making you an offer that you just can't turn down. You ought to turn it down, because his main agenda is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his only agenda. If he paint it up and make it look real good, like it's good in the beginning, his outcome that he wants to have is killing, stealing, and destroying. That's it. And that's where so many folks get caught up in the glitter. They get caught up in the glitter of it all, and that's why some of them get off into selling dope and, trying to make a fast buck, fast money, and fast women, fast cars, and, the party life. If you notice, when you go out to these clubs, boy, they put a lot of money into those clubs. They put a lot of lights and flash and pizzazz and, a lot of glitter off in these clubs to get the people's attention and try to make people think that, it's just going to be a great time. And, like Las Vegas, man, those people are sad at the end of the night. Those people are losing money. Those people are committing suicide. I mean, it's Satan stealing, killing, and destroying. The Bible says that he will appear to you as an angel of light, like Las Vegas, Nevada. People are running there, and I don't believe that any pastor should be going there to have a good time. I just don't believe that's setting a good example, because there's thousands of people, probably millions of people going there every year. They're losing their houses and their marriages, Apostle, and some of them even their lives, and it's gangsters still running a lot of those casinos. Don't be deceived. So the devil, he appears as an angel of light, but what he wants to do is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, Yeshua says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundantly is super abundant. And that word life is the high quality life, superior in quality, super in abundance. That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have the best of everything, but he wants us to get it doing it his way. That's how he wants us to get it. He wants us to get it doing it his way. There's no shortcuts. And there are so many, even saints. Even saints today, they're getting off course and trying to, fabricate their own way and trying to make up shortcuts. And it's getting them into a lot of trouble, Apostle. It's getting them into a lot of trouble. They're trying to even fabricate the anointing and the presence of God. Okay, you might fool people for a while, but what type of results are you getting? Some of them even have smoke shows. Okay. You know what? That's right there is deception. It deceives the people. Smoke shows, and some of them even drop bird feathers from the ceiling. And I'll tell you, they're doing all types of things, Apostle, gimmicks and pranks and playing games. I tell you, it doesn't work, and it never will work. Jesus comes to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. What is that? Super abundance and superior in quality. He wants us to have the best of everything, and he wants us to have it in excessive amounts. Why? Because he says that he blessed us to be a blessing so that we will be able to bless others. You're created to succeed. And so the message God has given me for you today is keys to living a successful life. Keys to living a successful life. You are created to succeed. God's way. Not the devil's way. I tell you, not the devil's. You don't want to get caught up in the devil's scheme. He come in nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to talk about keys to living a successful life. Glory to God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. God has created you and I to live a successful life. And there's keys. There's keys. There's things that we can do to live a successful life. Jeremiah 29:11, the scripture says, God says to us, for I know the plans, or it says in the King James, the thoughts, which is in the Hebrew, the plans. The plans that I think toward you. That Hebrew word to think right there, it means to weave. So God has weaved personally. He's weaved things together for you. Oh, glory to God. He's weaved a successful and beautiful life for you. For I know the plans that I have weaved together for you, saith the Lord. Plans of peace. That word peace is shalom. And it's prosperity. God's plans for your life includes prosperity. Oh, glory to God. Whole life prosperity. Prosperity, he wants you to prosper in every area of your life. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Where God wants you prospering in your spirit, in your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, and your intellect, and he wants you prospering in your body. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He wants us prospering in every area of our life. That's the plans that he has for us. Plans of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end, a future. God has plans planned out a great future for you. Great, not of evil, but good. Keys to living a successful life. You were created to succeed. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Isn't that wonderful news, Apostle? God has created all of us to succeed, not to fail. He's created us to succeed. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What for? For good works. Hallelujah. For good works, not bad, not evil, but for good works. God has created you and I for good works, which God hath before ordained. He's prepared them ahead of time. God has prepared good works for us to do ahead of time. That's what it means, hath before ordained. He's prepared ahead of time works for us to do in this earth realm, works for us to do throughout all eternity on this earth. He has prepared ahead of time works, good works for us to do, that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. God expects, once we find out what he's created us to do. He expects for us to walk in these good works. God has created us to succeed. Keys to living a successful life. How are we going to live a successful life? We got to know that we're in a win-win situation. Number one, because if we don't know that we're in a win-win situation, as soon as hard times hit, we'll quit and we'll give up because we figure that we're going to lose. But if you know ahead of time that you're in a win-win situation in God, then you'll continue on. That's the first key of living a successful life. You've got to know that you are in a win-win situation. You've got to know that no matter how things hard things get, or no matter how things look at the time, no matter how terrible things might look at the time, you've got to know that you're in a win-win situation. Therefore, then you can go on and continue living a successful life. But you got to know that you're in a win-win situation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, not sometimes, but always causes us to triumph, causes us to win in Christ, and make it manifest, make to appear the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He tells us what to do, give us understanding so that we can win in every situation. Hallelujah. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And he make it manifest, or make it to appear, his knowledge. His knowledge. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the what to do in every situation so that we can win. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that God wonderful? He's wonderful. He gives us what to do in every situation. I know it reads like this in the King James. He make it manifest or known the savor of his knowledge. In other words, he gives us the knowledge that we need in every situation, in every place, so that we can win, so that we can always triumph. So instead of getting all outrageous and falling over into fear, ask God just what to do when difficult situations come up. He will give us the knowledge that we need to win. We got to know that we're in a win-win situation. Number two, we're talking about keys to living a successful life. How are we going to live a successful life? Number one, we got to know that we're in a win-win situation. We're going to win. If we take time out, listen to the knowledge that God gives us in every situation, we're going to win in every situation. Number two, we've got to learn to endure times of contradiction. There's going to be some times in life that look just the opposite of what God has told us. So we're going to have to endure those times of contradiction. God says you healed, but it looks like you're being attacked everywhere in your body. Well, it's just a satanic illusion. That's all it is. It's the enemy trying to get you to speak out of your mouth and call those sicknesses and disease into existence in your body, because the scripture clearly tells us that we are healed. So we're going to have to endure these attacks on our minds, these attacks in our life. We're going to have to endure these times of contradiction when things look just the opposite of what God said. Now, we can either believe that, for example, that with his stripes, we are healed, Isaiah 53, verse 5. We can start confessing out of our mouth, oh, I'm sick. Oh, it feels like I'm dying. Or we can say that with his stripes, we are healed, and really believe it because it's the word of God. You see, that's enduring the times of contradiction. When you're having a challenge in your money, well, we shouldn't. He says that we're blessed in the city and we're blessed in the country. He says that he became poor that we may be what? Rich. Glory to God. So, we need to confess that, hey, I am strong. I'm not weak. We need to confess I'm rich. You know, that's enduring the times of contradiction when it looks like My God, the bottom has fell out. We're going to have to endure the times of contradiction. And enduring the times of contradiction is not saying what's going on in your life. It's saying what the Word of God says. That's what we've got to say, what the Word of God says. We need to endure the times of contradiction. It can look like, hey, man, it's over. Well, you don't need to be saying that, hey, it's over. It's done. No. Say it's the light at the end of the tunnel or something. Say God's going to bring me out. Say something that's in line with the Word of God. Weeping may endure for tonight, but hey, that's all right. I'll be joyful and rejoicing in the morning. Glory to God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, hey, but God's going to deliver me out of them all. See, we need to endure the times of contradiction. Don't fall into the trap of the devil and start talking negative. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. How to live a successful life. We're looking at the keys to living a successful life. Number one, you got to know as a child of God that you're in a win-win situation, and God always calls you to win. We just got to listen to what he's telling us to do. Number two, and we need to endure the times of contradiction. When things look just the opposite, hey, you're not going down. It's not over. You're still winning. And we got to know that. We got to endure those times when things look just the opposite of what God has showed us, what God has told us. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction. Jesus endured the contradiction. He was the King, the Savior, the Messiah. But look at all the stuff that he was going through. He got called the devil. He was beat, spit on. People were mocking him. They were out to kill him, out to get him. I mean, things looked just the opposite of who he was supposed to be, who he was. Things looked just the opposite of who he was. But the scripture says, for consider him that endured such contradiction. Jesus endured that contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You've got to endure the contradiction, or you will faint. You will faint. You will give up. You will throw in the towel. We got to endure the times of contradiction. Jesus did. He went on to the cross. I mean, he didn't get mad, and he didn't throw in the towel and give up on mankind. He endured the cross. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. He endured. He went on through. He endured the times, the scripture says here, of contradiction, of the sinners. So you and I, we got to endure the times of contradiction. In other words, when things look just the opposite, we need to believe what God has told us. We need to confess what God's word says, even when things look just the opposite. Number three, we got to know that the results will happen for us, the good results, the good things will come to pass in our life a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. So we're not to get frustrated. God didn't tell us things were going to happen quickly. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he's going to do things for us a little bit at a time. So we're not to get frustrated. We got to know that the results will happen, just like God has told us in his word, a little bit at a time. Look at Mark chapter 4. Keys to living a successful life. Number one, we got to know that we're in a win-win situation. Number two, we got to endure the times of contradiction, not quit and give up. We got to endure it, work on through it. And know, number three, know that the results, the good results will happen in our life a little bit at a time. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 28. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should go to sleep and rise up night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Here it is, a little bit at a time. First the blade, you'll see a little bitty blade coming up out of the ground. Then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Then you'll see the whole harvest. But it's a little bit at a time. You're not going to get it all at once. It's a little bit at a time. So you got to know that God will prosper you a little bit at a time so that you won't get frustrated and give up. You got to know how God operates. He's going to reward you and I for our service, for our faithfulness, for our loyalty. He's going to reward us throughout our life a little bit at a time. Oh, but the little bit is great, I tell you. The little bit that God does is great. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. But he wants us to know he's not giving it to us all at once. He's giving it to us a little bit at a time. Keys to living a successful life. You're going to have to know that you're in a win-win situation. You're going to have to endure the times of contradiction. When things look just the opposite of what God has told you, you got to go on and keep serving God, moving forward. And number three, you got to know that he's going to reward you. The results are going to take place. He's going to give you positive results. So don't get frustrated. He's going to give them to you a little bit at a time. Number four, learning the things that we need to do to enjoy a successful life, to live a successful life. We're going to have to learn the scripture and stay out of error. A little bit, just a little bit of error can get you way off course. A little bit of unforgiveness can get you way off course. Yeah, that's a little bit of unforgiveness can get you way off course. A little bit of sin can really jack you up and mess you up in life. So we shouldn't be playing around with things that we know we shouldn't be playing around with. We need to learn the scripture. Why? So we can have scripture battles with people? So we can show people that, hey, I know more scripture than you? No, we need to learn the scripture so that we can stay out of error. So we can live the way God wants us to live and teach what God wants us to teach. We need so we can stay out of error so that the devil can't fool us into doing things that we have no business doing. And see, we'll do what God wants us to do if we can learn the scripture. It will help keep us out of error. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and let's read verse 29. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. See, that's why a lot of people go over into error, is because they don't know the scripture. That's why people say healing is not for today. They say that because they're in error. They don't know the scripture. People come against the prosperity message. They come against the prosperity message because they're in error. They don't know the scripture. If they knew John 10:10, that Jesus said he come to give us life, zoe, which means superior in quality, and he to give it to us more abundantly, which means superabundance. If they knew that God told Abraham that he was going to bless him so that he could be a blessing. If they knew that from the scripture that Abraham was very rich in silver and in precious jewels and golds and livestock, if they knew that in the scripture, then they wouldn't be coming against the prosperity message. God wants you prosperous. Prosperous, he wants you to walk in abundance. You know what abundance is? Abundance is not just enough to get by. That word abundance means more than what you need. It means more than what you need. The Greek meaning abundance is superabundance. It's more than enough, more than what you need, excessive. It's more than what you need. Why does God want us to have more than what we need? So that we can be blessed, so we can what? Be a blessing. We can do more for others when we have more. So we need to learn the scripture so that we can stay out of error. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err because you don't know the scriptures, nor the power of God. Hallelujah. People are in error because they don't know the scripture. And because they don't know the scripture, they don't know the power of God. Hallelujah. I've been talking about keys to living a successful life. In order for us to live a successful life, we got to know that as a child of God, walking in obedience to God, we're in a win-win situation. And number two, we need to endure the times of contradiction. That's when things don't look, when they don't look like they're going in the direction of what God says our life is going, we need to keep moving forward anyhow, knowing that we need to endure this. This is just a time of contradiction. It just looks this way, but I know I'm moving forward. You got to know that you're moving forward. Endure the times of contradiction. And number three, you got to know that the results, the rewards, God will reward you a little bit at a time. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And number four, learn the scripture. You need to learn the scripture. How are you going to be successful in life without knowing the scripture? The scripture is health to your body. Hallelujah. You know, it's health to your body, and people don't know that unless they know that that's in the word. The scripture, the Bible says that it's health to our navel. So that means if you know the Bible is health to your body, man, we need to be getting the word of God in our bodies every day or as much as possible. Learn the scripture so that you can stay out of error. And my fifth point, learn faith. If you're going to be successful in God's kingdom, in God's world, in God's universe, we got to learn faith. We got to learn faith and patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture tells us, don't be lazy or don't be slothful, but imitators of them who through faith and patience, what do? They obtain the promises of God. So you need the faith to obtain the promises of God. You need the patience to keep on working your faith because it's not going to happen right away most of the time. It's not going to happen right away. It's going to happen a little bit at a time. It's not going to happen right away. So you need the faith, you need to work it, and you need the patience to keep on working your faith because the rewards, the promises are not going to happen all at one time. It's going to happen a little bit at a time. So you're going to have to obtain the promises of God through faith and patience. And I've been talking about keys to living a successful life. Know that you're in a win-win situation. Endure the times of contradiction. Know that the results will happen for you. God will reward you a little bit at a time. So don't get frustrated. Learn the scripture so that you can stay out of error. Getting a little bit off course can really get you going in the wrong direction, can really mess up your life. A little sin, Jesus said, a little sin leavens the whole lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a little sin can really get you off course and mess things up. So you want to learn the scripture so that you can stay out of error. That's what I'm saying. You want the best, you got to give your best. And number five, learn faith and patience. That's how you obtain the promises of God. Apostle, whew.
Amen. I know you. That's a powerful message. I took all the notes down from Genesis to Hebrews. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. So I want to thank God for you, my brother. And what God is doing tonight, what I did this week on Tuesday night from 8 o'clock, I'm having everybody that's on the line. But Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, I'm having a lot of people come on the radio station, And there's a question that we ask, can we talk? Can we talk? And we're being blessed. And hearing what you said tonight, what you said tonight, keys to living a successful life. And I know God is so good. And I got our dear brother with us. I know he's out there.
Yes, I am.
He got his fishing rod, he got his shotgun, he got his axe, he got everything. You ready? Jump on the
Hello, pal.
All right, how's everybody doing tonight? Praise God.
We're blessed.
Yeah. Amen, amen. You know, I love following you, Apostle, because I want to kind of continue on with your message a little bit if I can, because God's laid this on my heart. Now, we go to Psalms 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within it. Now, the earth and the world, we have to stop and figure. We have the physical earth, then we have the world. And that the world is everything that's in it, that's upon it. That's you and me. Our world, each one of us has a world within the realms of the earth. And what we make of it is totally up to us. I know this for a fact because, you know, we a lot of times God gives us a word and what we do, we try to hold on to the past and we try to hold on to the future at the same time, and we do a tug of war and we're constantly tearing ourselves apart because we're afraid to let go of the past and we're afraid to step out into the future and follow Christ and trust in the Lord, you know, fully, and just let go and say, okay, God, if this is where we're going, then this is where we're going, and just let go of everything else and just don't have a care in the world, basically, and just follow the Lord, because he will lead you and he will guide you to your destiny, to the purpose he has for your life. And, yeah, we're going to come into trials and tribulations. We're going to have troubles along the way. But at the same time, if we stay faithful with the Lord and trust in him for our faith and trust in him, he will see us through these things. You know, it says in the second verse, it says, For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? What we know is Christ, but you know also that the fact that you and I, if we're in Christ, we stand in the same holy place because God has given us that grace and that mercy to be able to stand in his presence. We'll be able to stand in due of his authority. We have all rights given unto us as Christ has given them unto us as those who received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And yet, like again, like I said so many times, we play that tug of war because we hear this word and we hold it into our hearts and we have expectations and we hope. But yet at the same time, we continue not to let go of our past. You know, in 2015 was the year of Jubilee. It was a 50-year Jubilee. And then after that, it becomes a new beginnings. And then God has shut so many doors to so many people. But those who understood this and started to walk in that, all those doors that were shut before them, you know, a lot of times we go back and try to hold these doors. We try to open these doors back up. We tried to walk back into it instead of releasing ourselves to go and walk with the Lord in the Spirit.
Yes.
We begin to sit there and deny God. Then we start going after the things of the flesh. We start going after. We got a lot of interference there. We start going after the influence of the flesh. We start going after the things that we have no needs of, because we continue to try to pick at that lock. We continue to try to knock that door down. We continue to knock on that door. We continue to, because that's something that we have. But God took us out of that. He took us out of that mess, of that mire. He took us out of that stuff that we no longer need, because we transitioned. We transitioned into a new era in our lives. and begin to begin to walk in that era. We begin to start to follow God and begin to sit there and understand of His righteousness and His glory. And as we continue to walk, He continues to add to us, because as we being faithful in the little things, He keeps on adding to us. And we keep on saying, God, well, we want more, we want more, we want more. Oh, Lord, please give me more, give me more, give me more. A friend of mine wrote me from Uganda. And that very thing, he says, I need prayer that God gives me more. So I wrote him back and I said, listen, I says, how would you feel if you gave somebody everything you had? And then he kept coming back to you and saying, I want more. And I keep coming back and saying, I want more. I want more. I said, how would you feel? And he answered, he says, well, I'd be hurt. I'd be upset. I says, I wonder, who is this person that I gave to that would keep coming back and wanting more? And I said, that's you. I said, God gave you everything. When you received Him, He gave you His all. He gave you everything. He gave you authority over your enemies. He's given you authority over everything in your life, everything that you need. He's already equipped you with it. He's already given you the authority. He's already given you the keys to the righteousness. He's already given you everything that you need for your life. Well, we don't need to be asking for more. We need to be asking for understanding and wisdom. Because God has already poured out not only His Spirit, but His blood. He's poured out His soul upon us. He has poured Himself out. He emptied Himself into each and every one who received Christ. And yet we go back and we keep saying, Lord, give me more. So where's our faith? Where's our understanding of this word? Why? Where are we? Because we're not walking with Him. Because if we were walking with Him, we wouldn't be asking for more. We'd be saying, thank you, Lord. Father, I don't understand this. Give me some understanding. Give me wisdom. Father, I'm not quite sure about this. Help me out here. I was asking these very questions, and God today put a man in my life that I've known. And we got talking about He himself, he came to a point in the where he thought it was the end of his life, like the road teed, it was the end. Because he had seen that from the beginning when he was a child, and he thought that this was the end of it. And then he went down this road up in Arkansas, and he came to that very spot. He said instead of the oak tree being on the left-hand side, it was on the right-hand side. Instead of the sun being shining through, the moon shining through, it was the sun shining through. It was the crest of the sun that was breaching through the branches. And he sat there and he realized. He said he transitioned across because God took him out of one and sat there and showed him his past. And now he says, "I got you," because now we got a future. So where is your future? If you keep looking at the past, you keep holding on to the past, you keep kicking that door that God has closed, turn around. Turn around and start focusing yourself on what God has before you. Go down that road that He's prepared for you. And you say, what road is that, Lord? He will put you on that path. Where am I supposed to go, Lord? He will send you somewhere because He'll give you a word. It might be a street sign. It might be just anything. It might be someone passing by and give you a word. You don't know. But you won't know when you sit there and you got your back to Him and you're kicking at the door that He closed. Turn around. Turn around from that door and start to walk with Him. God has already prepared a way for you. He's already given you everything you need. It says in 4, He has he that has clean hands and is a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfulness, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're deceiving ourselves when we sit there and we ask God for more when he's given us everything, because we come into unbelief that we don't have what God has for us. We sit there and we come into unbelief when we sit there instead of looking down the path of road that he has prepared for us, and we keep on looking back at the road we came down and wondering where we missed it. How can I go back and change it? How can I make a difference? How can I go back and reset time? How can I do these things? Lord, how can I open this door? Give me the key to open this door. Lord, I'm banging on this door. We're deceiving ourselves. And then at that point, our soul becomes a debt of vanity, because then we sit there and we figure we're self-righteous because we should have had this and we should have had that and we should have been here and we should have done this. And why didn't this come, and how come this hasn't happened, and what makes you think that I hadn't deserved what I've been asking for? We allow that, the vanity, to come into our lives because we stop thanking God for the things he has given us, and we stop asking God, what is this, Lord? Help me to understand what this is. Help me to see what you see. Father, help me for the path that you've put before me, that it be your guiding hand, not mine. In 6 it says, this is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, the King of Glory shall come in. You and I are the gates. We are the gates to our own lives. You know, we sit there and we talk about God, not Jesus knocking at the door, and whoever opened the door to let him in to come in and sup with us. We are that gate. We are the gate to our future, and we're the gate to our past. We can either live in the future or we can live in the past, but we can't have both. We can't no longer. We can no longer stand in the middle and look left and look right. We have to choose, and tonight I'm saying choose. Choose who you shall follow. Will you follow the darkness of yesterday, or will you continue to walk in the light and the glory of God today, in the path and the direction that he has set for you? You are that gate. And he says, the King of Glory shall come in. How is the King of Glory going to come in when you sit there and say, God, I want more? You've deceived yourself because you not allowed him in the first place. Because if you had allowed him in, you wouldn't be saying, I want more. You'd be saying, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the power, all the wisdom, and all the glory. Thank you for the kingdom of heaven at hand. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given me. Thank you, Lord, for the healing. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you bestowed upon me. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in my life. Thank you. It's not the past that he's done. It's what he's done for you for the future. It's time to choose today and whom you're going to follow. Are you going to follow the darkness, continue to be in limbo, crying out, boo-hoo, Lord, I don't have this and I don't have that. Please, God, I have, give me more, give me more, give me more. And he says, I've already given it to you. Use what I've given you, what I have given you, and prosper in it. When you're asking God for more than you're asking because you have unbelief, you need to stand and you need to choose. You need to choose today. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. God says he's already defeated your battles. If he's put you on that path that he wants you to go down, all you have to do is walk in faith and believe. He says your enemies will depart from you. They will scatter from the left to the right. They will die at your right hand. They'll flee at your left hand. They will not come near unto you or nor touch you, because the Spirit of God is upon you. Yet when you say, God, give me more. You're living in doubt. You're living in fear. You're not living in the prosperity of Christ. You're not living in the prosperity of the kingdom of heaven at hand. You're not living in the spirit of God because you're living in fear. And God does not live in fear. He will allow you to stay in your fear. And he keeps crying out to you, come this way. Come this way. Follow me. Follow me. Whom this day shall you choose? Yesterday in your darkness? Or are you going to choose me in the light? Today, choice. It's time that you make that choice. Because this is a new year. In 2015 was a year of jubilee, and we're walking in it. Why are you disgracing the word of God? Why are you defiling the word of God and everything that you're doing that is against the will of God because you're living in fear and doubt and asking God for more when he's already given it to you? Prosperity is at the prospering of your soul, prospering of your spirit, prospering of your mind, prospering of your hands, prospering of every step you take, prospering in everything that you touch. God has put your foot in a large room. You cast that light in that room and you call into existence what is in that room. You and I, God has given us authority over. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, even lift them up, and ye everlasting doors, and the kingdom of glory shall come in. Praise God. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. If we are walking with the King of glory and walking with the blood that was shed on Calvary, and if we're walking because we have partaken in the body of Christ, why are we asking for more? He says, I already give it to you. I've given you everything. I've given you authority. I've given you everything that you need. I have planned, I made a plan for your life. I have you to walk in that plan. I have you to be what it is that I've called you to be. Well, Lord, I want to be an apostle. No, Lord, I want to be a prophet. No, Lord, I want to be this. No, what God has called you to be is what God has called you to be. The rest is vanity. Well, Lord, I want to be. What has God called you to be? You need to get real with God. If God's going to answer your prayers, you need to get real with him. You need to sit down and say, God, I don't understand. What is it that you want from me? Many of those in the Bible, they've asked when God had come before and said, what have you me to do? Moses, he asked, how can I do this, Lord? How many have asked, why, Gideon, you chose me? Why you choose someone like me? How many? But yet they believed. And God glorified them. Not unbelief. He glorified them because he chose them. Just to who's listening on this radio program right now, God has chosen you. God has set a plan before you. Maybe we don't understand it. Maybe we don't see it. Maybe we don't hear what it is that he wants us to do. But if we walk in faith and believe and trust in him, he will guide us. Doors will continue to open for us. Blessings will to continue to come. You know, the old saying says, follow the money. Well, how about follow the glory? Follow the glory of God. And sometimes following the glory of God takes us into places that we really don't want to be. But that's okay, because we become that light in that dark place. And when that light begins to shine, the glory of God begins to shine. And it's that's where God sits there and says, even your enemies will give unto you. The richest kingdom of heaven is at hand. He has given everything to you and me. He asked, why don't you believe? Why don't you trust me? You're in a new era. You're in a new age. You're in a new beginning. Walk with me, doors, and they shall not open again. That life is finished. It is gone and it is done. I have a new life. I have a new path. And I have a new way for you. Brothers and sisters, it is time. If we started out in a new jubilee, everybody praise God that we into the jubilee. You're a jubilee, and we praise God for all the things that goes on. And yet, at the same time, we stumble and we fall back, and we sit there and say, why me, Lord? How come, Lord? What's up with this, Lord? God, give me more. Then we're not walking in a jubilee that what God has given us. We're not living the life that God has prepared for us. We're walking in fear. We're walking in a doubt. Yes, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but you know what? Even tonight, I asked God, specifically, I said, what about this? And he gave me a number 2015, and he kept repeating it over and over and over and over, and I had no understanding. I said, well, is that am I supposed to go buy a lotto ticket? 2015, what's 2015? Is it an address? Lord? I'm asking all these questions. And finally, God put this man in my life and told me, because we were talking, he sat there and he says, my whole ministry changed in 2015. He says, in 2014, I knew it was coming to a close. It says, in 2015, it closed. And God showed me, he has taken me from my beginning to that of a new jubilee, which is that he's been in ministry almost 50 years, and that he's crossed over into a new era. And he says, what a joy to be walking in this new light, the transition that he has made. God has showed him that he had crossed over. Even myself, I knew in 2015 there was a shift in the paradigm. I had no understanding what was going on. But I was still dealing with the things of yesterday. I was still dealing with the things that I wanted to do for the ministry, what I wanted to be and what I wanted to become and all the things that I wanted to do. And finally, I realized, I'm testifying here, I realized God had transitioned me, but I had the lack of understanding. I had the lack of understanding what he was doing because I had put vanity before God in the things that I wanted to do, I wanted to accomplish, and what I wanted to be. When he closed that door, I walked over to open that door up, and I sit there, and it was locked, and I said, well, this sucks. And somebody grabbed my hand and sat there and says, follow me. And I haven't looked back. God continues to open doors. God continues to make a way. God continues to do things in my life. God continues Amen. To transition me. God continues to work in my life. God continues to show me things. God continues, and he continues, and he continues. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the thank understanding. You. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You know, we say
thank
we don't
you,
pray
Lord.
To Jesus. We thank Jesus. We pray to the Father.
Thank you.
Think about that. We don't pray to Jesus. Jesus is our intercessor. We pray because through the intercessor that who we are in Christ, we stand before the Father in Christ. The representation of Jesus because he says he looks upon his Son. We pray to the Father. Hallelujah. We stand before God and yet we ask for more. Instead of saying thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way. Thank you, Father, for your Son that you gave as a sacrifice so that I can become what it is you desired me to become in the first place. When you thought of me before I was even knitted in my mother's womb, that you had a plan for my life. Now my eyes are open. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. For that which you sacrificed of yourself, so I can stand before my Father in heaven and give you the praise and give you the honor and give you the glory. Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, let go of that door. It's closed. It's not going to open back up for you. Let go of that door. And if God is standing there before you, take his hand and say, let's go. Don't ask where. Just say, okay. Where's your faith? I'm challenging you tonight. Where's your faith? Where does your heart lie? Or are you struggling, holding on to the past and trying to grab a hold of the future? You can't have both. One or the
Hallelujah.
Other. Tonight.
Glory
make
to
that
God.
Decision. Tonight, make that decision. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow yesterday, the darkness? Because that light is already past. Are you going to sit there and let go of the darkness and grab a hold of the light and walk into peace? Walk in the prosperity of God, the Father? Are you going to sit there and begin to say, praise God, thank you for everything, Lord? Because when you say thank you for everything, because everything he has for you, it will begin to manifest. All your heart's desires, all your dreams, everything that you desired in your life, because God, on the day before you were born, had planted that all into your heart. He planted it into your life. But there's a season we had to go through in order to appreciate what it is that he is taking you to. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He has taken you. He took you through a season of drought. He took you through a season of despair. He took you through a season of ugliness, of guilt, and of the understanding. He took you through a season of the darkness to bring you into a light so that you could appreciate what he has for you. Walk in it tonight. Grab a hold of it and begin to walk in it. Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, that's my message. That's my message for the night, ladies and gentlemen. I hope somebody got something out of it.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Great word, Pastor.
Yes, indeed. That was a blessing to me. But tonight, I want to just continue. I mean, while we was, I got my cell phone on. And I've been operating on Facebook. And as I was busy putting some on Facebook, I wrote something down. It caused tears in my eyes. All of a sudden, when you say what you said, and I put this down, my God, this is you. Amen. That's deep in my thinking.
Well, praise God. I'm...
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a message. I mean, I've been like I said, you know, God gives us things. He gives us a vision. He gives us things to see, and yet we have to go to that understanding. What is it, you know? And it's nothing wrong with sitting and saying, God, I don't understand this. It's when we sit there and say, I got it. Then that's when we sit there and we lose it, because we take that vision, we take all that glory out of his hands, and we start with that walking in the flesh and that vanity and all that, everything else. We've taken it out of his hands. We've taken the glory from him. But if we sit there and humble ourselves like children and believe and have faith like a child and walk in that, God loves it, that he wants to show off. He wants to show his love. He wants to show off to you and me. He wants you to be glorified because he loves us.
Yes, he does, brother.
And he cannot And you cannot do that when you continually to look at the doors that he's closed, because you didn't miss anything. He pulled you out of those rooms. He closed those doors because you're in a new season, a new time. Praise God. Take a hold of it and run with it.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, amen.
Amen. Well, you know one thing I could just say, hallelujah. 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 Praise the living
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because I know what God has done is doing N-O-W. He's calling his body closer to him. And it was taught by the apostle and by the pastor. God is saying, get ready, get ready,
yes.
Get ready.
Yeah, get ready.
Get ready. The door is closed.
Yeah.
I want, when that door closed, I want to be inside that door. My God. God is so good.
Amen.
One thing I can say, we got, if y'all want to listen to, we got some more people going to come on the line with us, but we're going to have 30 minutes and nothing but just, can we talk? I'd like y'all to listen to what's going on. God is so good. His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
One thing I will say to everybody,
amen.
What God is doing more now than ever, tomorrow does not belong to us, belong to God. But God knows all about tomorrow. We have to have, as my brother say, we have to have that faith to walk into it. We have to have that understanding what God is saying. God has said, I am God. And besides, this is you. God has said, this is you. He says, and you say, if you have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And out of the day, I said, Father, forgive me. Somewhere, we all have sinned. Every day we live, we have to refine ourselves. And the more I begin to see what God is doing through me, I can't see what somebody else is through me. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm ready to do it. And see, someone said to me one day, you don't know where you're going. Oh, yes, I do. I'm going east by east. Hey, east by east. And there's nothing coming out of it.
Amen.
Good news. And anybody go, when Jesus Christ shall, he shall split that eastern wind, that eastern sky. That's what the Bible says. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And I want to say to all of that, we got some people coming online just listening. And I want y'all to know one thing, that what God has said, she's so good. Amen. Praise the living God. Hello, hello, mother. Hello, friend. How you doing? Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Praise the living God. Can we talk?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
I'm listening.
Okay. Well, I want you to know one thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Word of God. See, God has been so good to us today. He's been so good to us today. He's been so good because he caught us from the darkness where we are right now. And one of the things I'd like to say, can we talk? More or less is a conversation between the saints of God and hear what God is saying to all of us. Can we talk? Yes, we can. What can we talk about? The Word of God. There are many people that are listening to us right now that needs the healing. There are many people that listen to us that need salvation. There are many people that listen to us can't talk. And that's why when God gave me the word, can we talk? We got to talk to one another. We got to love one another. We got to be obedient with love toward one another. Because they don't love you the way I love you, don't mean that you're going to have to hate me. Hate is a parasite. And it just comes in, it stops everything. Can we talk? Can we talk? I believe we can talk. God has made it so. He called us from the darkness where we are right now. And I want to say this to the believers on this line with me tonight. The whole world is in every word. Okay, somebody put it up on mute, please. Somebody get on mute. And what God is doing right now, God is, we are on the international radio. Everybody around the world is hearing you. Now, it may not be at the same time, but the wave goes around. And what they explained to me when I first come on this Blog Talk Radio show, FM and AM have a small wave. But this Blog Talk Radio is like going up to wholeness. And the word of God is going out there. God loves us. Let me give you an example of what the Bible says. I am God, and beside me there is none of us. There is none. When he said, I spoke, he meant what he said. I spoke it. He spoke it. And I ask one question sometimes, many days. I say to my finger, did you help yourself? My finger can answer me. But I know my flesh can say, oh, I hurt. But I want you to know what God is doing. We've had two great apostles. We had an apostle on earlier and a pastor on. And so tonight, can we talk? Can we talk? One of the things we find in America, what's wrong with America? Anybody, can we talk? What's wrong in America right now? Anybody, can we talk? What's wrong in America? My God. I tell you right now what's wrong in America.
Hello?
Say it. Hello?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm listening, Dr. Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but one of the things I found out in America, see, a lot of people don't believe it, but if you've never been a WR, you know what a war means. When you have never been, bullets have went over your head, and they taught you how to defend. Right now, we're in a war. It's of the war of spirit and of the soul, straight and desires us. He desires. He want to knock us down. He want to do everything he can to us. But God has made it so possible. Because when we stand for him and with him, one thing I was saying to the early person, I put this on Facebook, and it's similar, and I put, my God, this is you, amen. See, what God is saying, God so loves us. He loves us. Why? He says, and many believe. Many believe there.
Mm-hmm.
And now here. Many believe. See, there's a friend, a cousin, a auntie, all of them that don't believe that you do. How are we going to help them to get in? I mean, living a good life. And see, everybody wants to live a good life. But nobody wants to pay the price. It costs you.
Huh.
It costs prayer. It costs you time. It costs you devotion. It costs you whatever it takes to get God busy for you. Because God said, I got it. As I always say, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. If you keep trusting and believe what God is doing for us and through us, when you go and look at Matthew 22 and 29, it was taught earlier on the radio night. When you take a look at what God is doing for us, what God is saying, we got to deny this flesh. Flesh will fool you. Flesh will lie to you. Flesh will show you. You ain't nothing. But flesh will say, oh, you can do that. Come on here. I know you can do it, man. You've got the power to do this here. And next thing you know, you got to do something. And see, the mind began to deceive. The mind, if you don't have the mind of Christ. And see, what God is saying about it, Christ, can we talk? Can we talk? Don't let somebody else. Can we talk? Anybody else?
Yeah, and I think too, Dr. Hunt, is that I think in our everyday living now, I think we done got too comfortable. We done got too comfortable. We done got too relaxed. You know, what have you. And I think the blessings of the Lord, you know, and what have you. And if we go back to the old days, if we go back to those, you remember those moaning and those praying mothers, how those praying mothers, and they used to get on their knees and they prayed, and they was those moaning mothers that went on, and you know, and you can even that you can look at some of them, you can tell that the lifestyle that they're living, you know, that you can just tell throughout their lifestyle. You can if they were 60, but you can tell they look like they were 40 because of it, because of the praying in those moaning mothers. And I think that we got a little, you know, God done blessed us now. And there's nothing wrong with God blessing us, okay, and what have you. God done blessed us with nice homes, you know, with nice cars and jobs and so on. But I think a lot of times we forget about, you know, and I don't think we just really mean it, Dr. Hunter. I don't think we just really mean it, but I think a lot of times we just get too relaxed, you know, in our everyday living, and we don't forget about God. And then we wonder why, Dr. Hunter, these things come up, you know, things happen, you know, happen to us, like, you know, just, you know, with the United States, with the president. But if you would just, if we could just all just, you know, just all just, like, come together and be on one accord, and just like and start like a prayer, you know, just start praying, and you see him say, he said that a family, and we all a family. He said a family that prays together stays together, and I guarantee you. And what happened with in my life, and what happened, the reason why I'm here is because I got relaxed, and I was a truck driver, and you know, and got comfortable and what have you. Then he found it. Then he was letting me know. He said, "Hey, Otis, I'm gonna bring you back to reality." And it's a blessing that the way he did it, you know, because the way he did it was, you know, because he worked with everybody in a different way. But I thank God for him. I said, I was upset. I said, "God, why all this happened to me?" Well, Otis, I was just trying to get your attention. I was just trying to get you, let you know who I am. You know, not to trust that man. Not to trust that man. See, man can only go so far. Okay, man gonna fail you. I don't care what man it is, woman, man. When I say man is gonna fail you somewhere along the line. But I tell you, when the thing about it, when he, you know, when you go out there and let man fail you or get the feeling you're a whole lot, somewhere along the line, you're gonna say, you know what, I'm tired. It might be your boss. It might be, you never know who it could be. But you know, along the line, you're gonna say, you know what, I'm getting tired. And then eventually, you know, you're gonna say, you know what, I'm gonna go to this. I'm gonna go back to, you know, I'm going back to Jesus, because you know what, Jesus is the same today, you know what I'm saying? He's no different, you know what I'm saying? He never changed. So I think that's the thing about us, about prayer. And I think, you know, and I think we just can, like, can we talk? This is not something that we just go to the radio station like 102 or 97.9 or whatever. But this this radio station is of God. If you listen to some of the testimonies, or you listen to the people that he put on his talk show, it's going to be people of God. It's gonna be people of God that can, you know, that can come in and give us give us some type of encouragement, some type of, you know, to let us know, you know, what we need to do in order for this world to get back on track. And that's all. That's what I just want to say to the ones that's on this. Can we talk? You know, and that's what I want to just add to it.
Amen. Anybody else? Can we talk? Anybody else? Can we talk? Anybody else? Can we talk?
I'm listening.
Amen. Well, I'll say this much. I like what my brother said. Now, when we come together, the very first thing Jesus did, he told the disciples, go back and go to Jerusalem and stay there until you are endued with power. There are a lot of my brothers and sisters that are not endued with power. They don't want the Holy Ghost to be upon them. They don't want the Holy Ghost to be a part of them, because they want, as the brother said, they want to still do what they're doing. They want to trust in the FLESA. But when Jesus told his disciples, go and meet me in Jerusalem, he said, can you put the mute on, please? And so, as he began to point out to them, on the 10th hour, on the 10th day, they had been praying for those days, and all of a sudden, something happened that fell from heaven. God had went back to heaven. Jesus went back to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit down there, but he made for sure that his disciples were ready, and they received 500-some people that spoke in different languages, 16 different languages he spoke. But when God gives us the unity, we can't help but ourselves. See, everybody want to be the pastor. Everybody want to be the apostle. Everybody want to be the prophet. Everybody want to be a teacher. Everybody want to be this. Everybody want to be that. Hey, 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 hey. Everybody, 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 everybody. Nobody wants to bow down to God. I'm the overseer. Okay, so, but you're not the chief overseer. And I'm not fussing. I'm just being honest. Because I've come to understand, when we lead them, if you're going to lead a flock, you got to teach a flock. If you're going to teach a flock, you got to get a flock. You got to get in that flock. Let me tell you what I learned when I pastored the church for 5 years. I had to get amongst them and talk to them, find out what their needs were, find out how can I help them. I don't want to, well, I'm all high and mighty. No, I got in the midst and found out. The shepherd gets in the midst of the sheep and find out what's wrong with that horse, what's wrong. And when he finds out, he said, okay, I got you. See, God has called us, and when we live in this time we live in, and I will say this to everybody, when some Monday night somebody had God gave us a word, and the word was that there was going to be a great, great thing happening in America. And you know what? That prophecy has called me to pick up even more. If something's going to happen in America, what's going to happen? Okay. The only place I can look from is to the west. On the west side of America, we got that guy over there, that young guy in Korea. Now, this is real, real time. He's messing up.
Yes, sir.
We come back. This young boy don't care about life. He can tell us about it. Young fool ain't got nothing. He don't care.
Yes, sir. That's right. He doesn't care from his relatives. Yes, sir.
That's it. And see, all of a sudden, somebody can ignite. And let me tell you something. America has a bomb. When they drop that bomb, it melts nothing but flesh. It's spoken in the book of Revelation. Guess who taught that Bible, who has that bomb also? Israel. And that's why we find it, the Russians are afraid of Israel and afraid of America. But America has let themselves go to the dung. And because they want homosexuals, they want lesbians, they want liars, they want thieves, they want thugs. But I love them. We got to get amongst them and tell them. We've just done that. A young man that I used to work with got killed. And somebody got there. Was all smoking them drugs and doing this. And somebody went pop, 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 pop. He's no longer in his world. Somebody. Where was the pastor? All up in that homestead. We got 30-some-odd churches. Well, that's not my call, you jackal, you. What do you mean it's not your call? What do you mean it's not your call? What do you mean it's not your call? It's your call. You're supposed to be a pastor of the church in the neighborhood. I don't mean to see, when you take a message like KCM, it reaches out to everybody with love and kindness. Some people don't give a hoot. Some people just don't care. But I'm going to tell you something. What I've come to find out, to talking to the believers, believers, whatever you want, God will give it to you. But you got to believe like never before. You got to believe it. What Jesus said, he said, you have not because you do what? You ask not. You have not because you ask not. You have not. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You ask for it. You don't have the riches. And he told us in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, I, God, who make you, he said, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you wealthy. How? Because I got a covenant I want to keep. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those were some men that God understood because Sandra, he called under that. Sandra, they went through some trials and tribulations. And the more you take notice, Henry talked, and each one of them had one soul, the angel. You take Joseph, and look what God did, what God is saying to us tonight. Many people are afraid. The devil is not going to cower me down. And I know he's not going to call y'all down. And I know this much, that I've come to know, when I received that Holy Ghost, something happened in my life. I began to see better. I began to hear better. I began to love my enemies better. Some folks I would even speak to. How you doing? And pass on by. Some folks, when I wasn't full of it, I just see them and look at them and keep on walking. But I've come with that love in my heart. That's why I thought, can we talk? I said, Lord, I'm going to put this whole radio station by the side. because I got to reach the unreached and tell the untold. There are a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things that all of us know that happen right now. And the only way we can help somebody, we got to pray. Oh, Jesus, I love Jesus. Can we talk? Can we talk?
Prayer is the answer. Praying is the answer. Praying is the answer. Praying is the answer. Praying is the answer now. I mean, we don't, you know, the word of God. You know, the word of God, you know, and what have you, but now, you know, with the way things going on in this way, in this world, we got to pray like forevermore now. We got to pray. Not just to, you know, we just go out and have your little prayer, but we got to pray. The Bible say, Dr. Hunter, that we have to pray without ceasing. And if you look it up, you got to continue to pray. You got to pray in the morning. You got to pray throughout the night. You got to pray in your sleep. You got to get up. Sometimes you have to get up, you know, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and just get on your knees and say, Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you. We got to continue to pray. That's the only way that things are going to change. Prayer is the only answer right now, y'all. Prayer. We're going to have to continue to pray, and we're going to have to pray like more than ever more until God come in and do the thing that he want in your life. I'm telling you, prayer, we're going to have to go back to praying. We got to go back to them old ways. We got to go back to them, Dr. Hunter. We're going to have to go back to them old ways. You know, we're going to have to, every knee shall bow, okay? Every knee shall bow. And I want to let y'all know, man, every knee, we got to pray like we never prayed before. And I'm going to tell you, if you just start praying and say, you know what, God, I'm just give God a free time and I'm not, you know, on your job, because you can sit in your chair. You know what I'm saying? You can sit in your chair and praise God. You don't have to go in the bathroom. You can go down the road in your car on your way to work. And you can just say, you know what, God, I just thank you. You know what I'm saying? I just thank you for another day. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you. You know, because we have to look at this here, Dr. Hunter. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't make it this morning.
Amen.
Every day that you wake up, somebody didn't make it this morning. But God gave you another day. And do you think that God giving you another day? If God giving you another day, the way things is now in this world, you don't think you ought to be thanking God, giving him the praise and whatever, and lifting him up, you know, in a time of need that we need now? We need prayer for this United States, brother. Brother, sister, whoever. We need, but one thing going to change the United States. One thing going to change that we all get together and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And pray. Put the prayer back into the schools. You know what I'm saying? We need to put prayer back into the schools and what have you. That's the only thing that we gonna. Only thing that's gonna change the things that need to be done according to our lives and our everyday living. You know, it's prayer. Prayer is the answer, y'all. Prayer is the answer.
When I say what I want to do, I want to start something right quick. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
we
have this program that you've given to us, Father. Can we
talk? Lord, thank you.
We just want to praise you and love you and adore you and magnify your name. Because there is no other. You're the only true and living God.
Lord,
and I want to say thank you, Father, for giving us another opportunity, Father. You caused us breath taking up another lung. You caused our eyes to have the light of your love. You call us out.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father. When we said we get up, you woke us up early this morning and want to say thank you. But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He came and paid an ultimate price for us. Because of him, we are who we are, and we say thank you. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We adore you. We magnify your name, that the Holy Father might be Father. And we want to thank you for the words you left that fill our hearts so deep with your compassion, with your love, with your understanding. But I want to say thank you, Father. I know somebody's right there walking in sin. But we call them in love,
yes,
Father. In the name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Father. Everything you have done for us. How you kept us. How you healed our bodies, Father. You have healed our bodies. And for this, we said thank you. Now, Father, there's somebody we know you know about, but we're praying for them in prison right now,
Lord.
Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody's been putting
yes,
that
Lord.
Wrong.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the name
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Holy Spirit. Let
me go to the point. Let me go right to the point.
Somebody needs to hear your word. Voice. We're crying out from the mountain. Come ye, Jesus calling. He's calling. He's calling.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It's getting late in the evening, and the sun.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We know it, Father. The sun outside is going down. We want to thank you. Want to praise you. Want to love you. Want to adore you. Father, I want to thank you for every friend I've met on the radio station. I want to thank you for those I've passed through in these years. I want to thank you, Father. I know you're going to let us live the life that you have called us to do, Father. But there's a time, Father, right now. We call America into repentance. We call the pastors. We call the teachers. We call the evangelists. We call the prophets. We call the evangelists. We call the fivefold and another sevenfold to come into the fullness. Those who are playing church, stop playing church. Be the church. We are
yes,
the church.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. I want to praise you.
Yes, Lord.
In my prayer, I'll pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? My mama. Anybody else? I don't want to offer. Anybody else? My God. And then, Father, right now, Father, I just know that somebody, Father, somebody has a need for the healing in our bodies, Father. They're not be on this line, but somebody knows somebody on this line tonight that needs the healing. Somebody needs the healing, Father. That's something wrong with that toes, Father. In the name of Jesus. We just speak. We speak that word to those toes. And we command those toes to come alive. We command them to turn from being black to what is supposed to be known. I want to say thank you, Father. I want to say thank you, Father.
Thank
you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Lord Jesus.
You.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
You have not categorized. You put us in a place called there. There you will speak to us. And we know you're speaking to us tonight, Father. There you are,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Under a secret
yes,
Lord. We praise you. We
yes,
love
Lord.
You. We adore you. And then, Father, some of us live in Houston. Some live in Arizona. Some live in Ohio. Some live in New York, some live in Florida, some live in Georgia, some live in Mississippi, some live in Louisiana, some live in New Mexico, some of you. But Father in America, we call upon your name. We call upon those
yes,
fathers that have been elected a position. Well, come to know, you can't play. You can't play. You can't play with the devil. This enemy, he hates. He hates us. And Father, we ask you to give our elected officials, give them wisdom. Give them knowledge. Give them understanding. Let them come together, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. But we know that Israel, we pray for Israel. We lift up that name before you, for Israel, Israel, Israel. Hear what the Lord thy God is saying unto thee. And Father, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. Moreover, Father, we want to thank you what your word says. Your word said for this cause.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ come, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah.
Yes.
This
hallelujah.
He to death and come now, come over. But you said in Jesus, Father, for this reason, that's why he came. He can set those who have held bondage, set them free, Father. And your word says, Jesus said, you sure how much he'll say, by the stripes that I bore on his back, we are healed. We are healed. May not look like it.
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
said, we're healed. We are healed.
We are healed, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And for this we praise you. For this. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We declare your word tonight. We thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Your word
thank you,
is ever
Jesus.
And Father, we just
yes,
want
Lord.
To say we love you. And then, Father, because
yes,
some may not have a. Somewhere in America, in India. Somewhere in
yes,
Palestine. Somewhere. My name is in the water. might have it in breathe, might have a moth or anything. But we pray this day, Father, that somehow the angels come out and let some food down that prison. And then, Father, we just lift up America. We lift up those pastors. We lift them up, Father.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We lift them up. In the name of Jesus. That they, because they have a great flock, they got to hear what the Lord is saying to the body of Christ. And I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to say thank
you, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've been so good to all of us.
God, thank you.
You've been so good to us, Father. You've been so good. We don't deserve it because you have helped us. You have anointed us.
Yes, Lord.
And you've put us out there.
Yes, Lord.
We don't mind standing against the rock, lies, and the things. We don't mind standing because we know you got our backs. We know you got us. We know you got us. We just trust you.
Yes, Lord.
We put our on. We put it on, Father, and we praise you, and we love you, and we adore you.
Yes.
We magnify your name, and we say, Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Father, I want to thank you this night. Thank you on this earth realm. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, in my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! What a prayer.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to see y'all tomorrow at 7:30 tomorrow night. Is that all right with y'all?
7:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We're going to practice things, sir. We're going to see some healings come forward. God is with us. We're going to press in. If it's just two or three, we're going to press in. We're going to press in.
Yeah.
We're going to press in.
Two or three gathered in my name. Yes, Lord.
That's it. We're going to press
two
on
Two or
in.
Three gathered in my name. That's the word.
That's the word.
Yep. I'm in the midst.
Thank
two
you.
Or three gathered in my name. I'm in the midst. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hey! And I want to tell you because glory, glory, glory. I want y'all to know that the world has heard and the world is saying, what? Yes. What? Yes.
Yes,
what?
Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus has come.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. I praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
I do.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for the brothers and sisters I've met on this radio station. Thanks, someone who's trying to prevail. We just continue to keep in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
Close out, brother.
Amen.
Close out, brother. Close out. Brother, close us out on this Friday night for the night. The first of August.
Yes. Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for the one just on this line, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to give them a special blessing, Lord Jesus. Then I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, that, you know, whatever, each and everyone that's on this, can we talk tonight, Lord Jesus? I don't know their situation, Lord Jesus, but they call, Lord, they call. Can we talk? Undoubtedly, Lord Jesus, they just want to be a part of the word on tonight, Lord Jesus. But you know, Jesus, whatever their situation is, Lord, if it's a burden, Lord, you know, Lord, if it's a burden, Lord, if it's finances, Lord, if it's whatever, Lord, that they need, I'm asking you, Lord, to give them a special blessing on tonight, Lord Jesus. You know, as they go throughout the day tomorrow, this is the first of the August the 1st, Lord Jesus. But as they go throughout their day or go out throughout their week, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep your protective shield around them, Lord Jesus, and anything that come up against them, Lord Jesus, destroy the works of the devil right now, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus on these lives. On this song, can we talk on tonight, Lord Jesus? And God, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, everything, Lord, everything. All you say is you said we ask, Lord, if we ask in your name, Lord Jesus, that you'll bring it to pass, Lord Jesus, that it's already done, Lord Jesus. And we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, for, you know, for your visitation on tonight, because it was you, Lord Jesus. It was your visitation on tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank you right now, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, as we leave throughout tonight, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, we hope that we was a blessing, we was a help to someone that called in tonight, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord, and whatever, Lord Jesus, or whatever, Lord Jesus, and we give it all to you, Lord, in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
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 See you tomorrow night. God bless you.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.